Welcome to the Self-Growth Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Marie, a courage coach, creative soul, and adventure seeker. Since thru-hiking the Pacific Crest Trail in 2019, I'm on a mission to help you embrace your most confident self so you can achieve your dreams too. If you're eager for deep conversations, big questions, and meaningful connections, join me on the quest to discovering how we can create a more magical and memorable life. Hello, nerds! How are you? I'm good. Today we are talking about going from passive to active in your life. We're going to talk about what that means and how you can identify the areas in your life where you're a passive passenger. Why you get there, how that happens, how the problem is created, the impact of being passive, and actionable steps that you can take in order to shake things up and take the control back over your life and your decisions. Okay? Let's start with the signs that you are being passive. And this might be in your whole life, but it might show up in one area more specifically. Maybe you're very intentional in your career and with your friends, but when it comes to your marriage or your intimate relationship, you've just kind of let things go. The first sign that you're a passive passenger is that you say, "I don't know," a lot. There's an aura of confusion or uncertainty around you. You might not say the words, "I don't know," but if someone asks you about your life, you're in a meh zone. I'll give you an example. I've told this story a few times of when I went to a stand-up comedy show when I was a graphic designer, and the comedian pointed at me in the audience and he asked me what I did for a living. And I said, "I'm a graphic designer." And there must have been a question mark in my voice, or maybe I had a deer in the headlights kind of face, because his response was to say, "Are your parents forcing you to do that? It doesn't seem like that's what you want to be doing." That was a moment in my life where I was a passive passenger. There was this aura of nonchalance or indifference around me. I was letting myself float down the river without really thinking about where I was headed. I had a general idea of where people are 5 years down the line when they do the job that I was doing. I didn't see myself in those shoes, but I was not doing anything about it. Sign number two is that you feel like you're doing a lot of things you don't really want to be doing, or that you hang out with people that you don't really want to be hanging out with, but it seems like these are just the demands of life, what's expected of you, and you don't really have a choice. Sign number three, you spend a lot of time having to numb your dissatisfaction. So that might be through watching a lot of TV, playing a lot of video games, drinking wine, daydreaming about a better life that you're going to have one day. I see this one a lot. And finally, sign number four, you rely on hope. Hope is your fuel. You just hope it's going to get better. You hope you're going to have more time. You hope people are not going to ask so much from you next week or next month. You hope you're going to come back relaxed from your vacation. You hope it's going to work out. You hope you're going to get the job that you want. I mean, you get the gist. I could carry on giving you examples, but I think you understand. There's a lot of hope going on. And if you're tired of hoping, maybe there's some cynicism that has made its entry into your thinking. Cynicism might sound like, "Oh, this is just how I am. I never finish anything that I start." Or, "This is just the system. The system's broken. We live in a broken world and that's just how it is. There's nothing to be done." And finally, sign number five that you're being a passive passenger is that there's a lot of talking, but there's not a lot of doing. You spend more time talking about what you could maybe do one day, or complaining about what you don't have right now and what you want more of, than actually taking action. And when I say taking action, that doesn't include busy work. Your schedule can be fully packed doing things that maintain your current lifestyle, pushing buttons, but not doing anything that's actually meaningful, that's going to help you truly progress. So these are the 5 signs. Let me quickly repeat them before we keep moving. So sign number 1, you say, I don't know a lot, or there's this aura of nonchalance / indifference / confusion / uncertainty around you. Sign number 2, there's a lot of things that you do or people you hang out with that you don't really want to be doing or that you don't really want to hang out with. You just feel like you have to. Sign number 3, you spend a lot of time numbing, trying to escape your reality, trying to avoid thinking about your dissatisfaction. Sign number 4, you rely on hope a lot, and there might be a sprinkle of cynicism in there. And finally, sign number 5, you do a lot of talking, you do a lot of one day I will, but you don't do a lot of meaningful doing. Now, if I was to ask you, what's the problem? Why is this happening? I think most people in this situation would tell me, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough money. And of course, that's an important part of this puzzle, but it's not the whole answer. And the solution certainly is not to get better at time management, to get better at productivity, to go on a vacation so you can come back ready to tackle everything that's on your plate. No, these are surface level solutions, and I want to talk about what's hiding underneath the surface that we don't address often enough. To me, the reason why you're being pulled in all kinds of directions and you feel like you're not in control of your own life, like you're not navigating your own life, is because you have not chosen a clear personal direction. You haven't taken the time to ask yourself what you want out of life. And there's many reasons for that. Part of it is you don't even know that's possible. You don't even know you can do that. You just sort of let things happen without making any bold decisions because that's just how you've grown up. That's what you've been used to, not having a voice, being told what to do, being given a manual of instructions. This is second grade. This is what you need to do to get to third grade. This is high school. This is what you need to do to get to college. Your parents telling you, here's what we think you should do next. So after years and years of being told what to do, you just forget that you have a say. Or you might, underneath all of that, have an inkling of what you want, but you're scared to speak up. You're scared to speak with conviction about it, to say, this is where I'm going. This is what I want. Because you've learned that being passive equals safety. If you don't make decisions, then you ensure you won't make a bad one. Either a bad decision in your eyes or other people's eyes. Better to wait to be given your next step than to actually try to take a step in a direction that lights you up, that you are curious about, and being told off about it, being criticized for it. Also, you've learned that if you don't do anything, you ensure that you're not going to make mistakes or you're not going to upset anyone. If you've been punished for going against someone's expectations of you, if you've been made to feel responsible for someone else's feelings, then of course, all of that has been internalized into your nervous system, into your unconscious, and you're going to associate taking risks, moving forward without absolute certainty, to danger. It's gonna feel dangerous. So you're gonna just stay where you are, even though it makes you feel miserable. And that is how you bury your inner voice. How you can live in denial for years and years and years, because you have unlearned how to listen to your inner whispers and trust what they have to say. Something that used to come easy as a child. All the kids do it without thinking. It comes natural to them. And then we grow up in a culture that wants us to walk a straight line. And so we have to unlearn our ability to follow our inner compass. That, to me, is the root cause, the real problem. And of course, it would be easier to get back in touch with our core self if we didn't live in a system where we need to work to pay the bills, if we had more time to just sit still, if we didn't live in a capitalistic society where we walk around with our phones that are filled with apps designed by companies like Meta, who wants to keep us addicted to social media, to keep us scrolling, TikTok also, they just want to keep us scrolling to make more profit instead of thinking about the impact that that's going to have, creating like super accessible slot machines for people as young as like, I don't know, how old are kids when they start using things like TikTok and Instagram? It's basically like they're using slot machines as kids. And that is because we've got these big companies whose goal is to make as much money as possible instead of considering our well-being. We've got to be aware of this so that we can outsmart this broken system and take care of ourselves, take care of our community. We have been used to putting our well-being in the hands of the big folks. When we were kids, we didn't really have a choice in order to survive. And then as teenagers, many of us have been told by the grown-ups in our lives what we should do, what makes more sense, what based on what we're good at or what daddy used to do or whatever that is. And so now many people just rely on the system to take care of them, but that's not what the system's focus is. There's this quote by Napoleon Hill, "Control your mind or someone else will." We could also say, "Control your life or someone else will." If you just surrender your will to the system will decide where to put you, and it's definitely not going to feel nourishing or fulfilling to your soul, okay? So it's a rewiring of a deeply ingrained pattern. And it's not your fault if you realize listening to this podcast that you've been a passive passenger in your life. It's not your fault. However, it is your responsibility to change. No one is going to come save you. You can actually live a passive life for the rest of your days and be fine. So instead of beating yourself up, if you realize that you're not where you want to be, if you realize that you've been letting things go, just go, oh, yes, this is me. This is what I've been doing. Now what? It kind of reminds me of what a former client of mine was telling me the other day during our, I think it was our last call. She said, before I started working with you, I would go to work. I didn't really like my job. I didn't feel like I connected with anyone there. I just came home and then I would play Zelda on the couch and I would start the cycle over and over again. And at one point, I just got tired of this. I got annoyed with myself. Another one of my clients, she said she would just smoke a lot of weed. And people thought she was depressed. She thought she was depressed. And turns out her quote-unquote depression was not anything to do with like chemicals in her brain. It was just her not owning what she wanted, not being able to say, this is what my inner voice is saying and I'm going to listen. So many people think they are depressed, but their depression is just a matter of pursuing their ignored calling. Ignoring your calling, the calling of your soul, is going to lead to depression. And to me, I see it, there's a difference between depression that's due to an actual issue with the release of chemicals in your brain, of hormones in your brain, versus a depression that's caused by denial of your truth. And that also makes me think about a client of mine that was quite intentional in lots of areas in her life, but when it came to dating, she kind of didn't know she could have standards. She didn't know she could have non-negotiables. She thought she needed to be as low maintenance as possible. Just take anyone that wanted to be with her. And of course, that would lead to huge frustration and disappointment over disappointment. She had to realize it's okay to just put your foot down and speak up about what it is that you want. That's what I did too, personally. I was, you know, a year ago left a 7-year relationship in which I had been passive because I just thought I needed to settle. You know, you found a good person. You can't make them upset by leaving. So find a way to be content where you are. But actually, I was out of touch with what I wanted in my core, down in the basement of my heart, until I did what I'm about to share. I really want you to take the exercise I'm going to tell you about seriously. It's time for you to go on an undercover revolution, to have an internal revolution. You don't have to tell anyone at first. You just have to be honest with yourself. That's what's most important. To leave denial. That's what's going to light your fire again, okay? If you feel lost, if you feel aimless, if you feel disconnected from your true self, this is going to help you get back. This is the first step to getting back to yourself. What you're going to do is you're going to grab a piece of paper or a journal, doesn't matter. You can burn it afterwards if you don't want anyone to see it. And you're going to finish this sentence. If everything was possible, here's what I want in my relationship or in my career or in my lifestyle. You can go through each one of them. And I want you to make a list of desires. And I want those desires to be rebellious, to feel rebellious, to feel over the top, to feel delusional. I want them to feel outrageous, okay? I remember the day I did this when I was in my old relationship. It was a day where I was tired of being disappointed. I sat down with my journal and I just wrote a bunch of desires I had. Here's what I want in a relationship. I want this. I want that. I was angry. If you're angry, use your anger. This is a way to tell your inner voice, here I am. I am listening. I am back. I am advocating for you. I have stopped ignoring you. Tell me everything you have to say. And beware, there might be a tsunami of desires coming to the surface. Or it might be really shy to come to the surface because it's been ignored for so many years. You might need to reassure yourself. You might need to be patient. You might need to come back to this exercise a few times until that part of you feels safe to speak up. And to help it feel safe, try to allow everything. This is not an exercise where we want to think about the logistics of how we're going to get things done. This is a space where everything is possible. All the desires are possible. There are no limits. We're not going to do what's on the list necessarily. We just want to unlock the flow. Just want to create a safe space where the ideas can come out in a messy way. That is step one. Step one is a very important step, but it does not stop there. Step two, you have to start telling the world about some of this. And when I say the world, it can just be one person. Doesn't matter, but it has to come out of your mind eventually, okay? I have a friend of mine, Flo. I know she's listening. Hello, Flo. We meet every now and then and we share our big dreams with each other. This is a space where I know I don't have to feel ashamed of having big goals and being very ambitious because Flo is the same. And we've created a space where we can talk about this openly and encourage each other. You've got to surround yourself with people like this. I believe that what you want has to come out of your mouth so that the universe has to hear you talk about your desires in order to deliver them to you. I'll give you a very concrete example from when I was an illustrator. I remember writing a little bucket list of the projects I wanted to do, and I scanned the page of my notebook and published it on my website. And then the next day, I got a call from someone who wanted me to illustrate a children's book because they had seen this project on the bucket list. Okay, I had to speak up about what I dreamed of doing in order to tell the world that I was available for this, right? So you first have to figure out for yourself, and then step two is you have to tell the people. Let's say you're looking for a partner, but you don't really know what you want. You first have to figure out what you want, and then maybe make a list and share it with a friend. You've got to find a way to own what you desire, to be vocal about what you desire. You know what this makes me think of is when I was a kid and I would go to shops like Claire's, where you could spend, I don't know, like $10 on a surprise bag full of cheap stuff. And maybe you would like one little thing in the bag. And that was fun. It was a thrill. It's a gamble, right? But sometimes you just want to take those $10 and spend it on exactly what it is that you fancy in that moment. Another question that you can ask yourself that was super impactful in my life is, would I choose my job again? Would I choose my partner again? Would I choose this city again? If I was to start over from zero, if my life was to start today, would I choose the circumstances that I'm in? Why or why not? And that doesn't mean you need to leave tomorrow. It might mean you have to make adjustments. And finally, step three, once you have identified what it is that you want, and then you've practiced owning your desires more openly, is to take action. And that is the hardest part. That's why I think it's helpful to get a coach for a certain period of time, to have someone walking next to you, encouraging you to keep going when it gets tough. During every session, you'll get better and better at owning what is true to you and at taking courageous action to create a life that feels like a glove instead of a pair of tight jeans. I'm not sure about this analogy. I'm not sure about this analogy at all, but you understand what I mean. You might feel right now in your life like you're stuck, like it's not you. It's not who you know you are deep down. You're trying to fit into a mold that doesn't allow you to breathe. By working together, we can for sure change that. You will feel lighter and you will feel proud of the life that you're living. Like it's actually your own life and not a life that you've taken off of some basic blueprint. So if you're interested to learn more, just book a call. It's free at selfgrowthnerds.com/audacity. It's going to be you and I for 45 minutes together talking about where you are right now, what you're dissatisfied with, and how working together can help you. Then you'll have all the information and you'll be able to decide if you want to jump in. And that's it. I hope today's episode was a good shake for you. That was the goal. Shake you out of being a passive passenger and step into the shoes of the leader of your life so that you can get old without regrets. Okay, that is it for this week, my loves. I wish you all a beautiful time and I will talk to you very soon. Bye. If you love what you're hearing on the Self-Growth Nerds podcast and you want individual help finding a new direction for your life and developing the courage to make your dreams a reality, you have to check out how we can work together on selfgrowthnerds.com or message me on Instagram at selfgrowthnerds. My clients say they would have needed that support years ago. So if you're tired of feeling like you're wasting your life, don't wait. Get in touch now, and I cannot wait to meet you.